After having comprehensively discussed about the internal methods along with some of their merits and the risks that are involved, let's look at the external methods. Now, as we had seen in the graphical, the chart, the visual chart, what happens if the internal recruitment or selection mechanism fails? Maybe because of lack of eligibility, maybe because they are not suitable, maybe they don't carry the requisite experience. In this case, we have to rely on something known as the external methods. And here we have a multitude of external methods that are at the disposition of the HRD or the recruitment professionals. The first being a promotional method, that is advertisement. Okay, over here it states choice of publication is critical. So you might want to advertise in a newspaper, which is a conventional form. It may be advertising which is done on social media like LinkedIn or Instagram or Facebook. So here, as per the desired position, advertising is critical. You might also have external recruitment done in the form of consultants or placement agencies. So there are various large and small placement agencies that can be hired in lieu of a certain consulting fee, which provide you with the required or the desired incumbents for the job. It can also happen through a campus mechanism. So today, post the pandemic, we see a lot of online and offline campus endeavors and efforts that are taken. So campus is basically the educational institutions. For example, various educational organizations, considering Wellinkers as one, where there are, corporates who come, they create a recruitment drive and they select the desired candidates based on the qualifications, on the experience, on the attitude and various other criterion. There might also be the context of an employee referral. So for example, let's say a friend of mine is a specialist in Python and Amazon Web Services. He's already worked as a manager. He's taken a small sabbatical or a break and desires to join the corporate industry again. So in this case, I might, look at an opening and I might provide his reference to the talent search or the recruitment department, and they might look at it further. We also may have walk-ins. So, this may be in lieu of the ads that were provided and if a certain time is provided. So this can happen across cities. This can happen online today. This can happen in a hybrid mode today, where people can just walk in and be interviewed. So office premises can be set up, business centers can be set up for the same, or it can be set up on Teams, Cisco or Zoom. There might be some temping agencies as well, which again act as recruitment consultants, and they might also look at the hiring process and helping the organization to get the required candidates. There might also be local communities where the organization delivers its services. For example, if the organization is into certain social services, which is also known as a CSR endeavor, corporate social responsibility, and they are catering to certain community houses. They may cater to the local church, the local temple, the local healthcare center, correct? So they may go ahead and put up their advertisements in the form of, posters in those places, and people can also join. So right from the blue-collar employees to people from management can be inducted by the use of these external methods. Now let's look at certain influencing factors which govern the external methods. So these generally, as I had mentioned, they can cater to entry level, that is graduate engineer trainees, novices, management trainees, blue collar employees who begin at a basic level. They can also entail a mid management levels, like they can entail project managers, you know, in IT, ITES. They can involve manufacturing or product managers in the manufacturing organizations, managers in the banking sector, also the senior managers or people from the management or the leadership cadre, like the CFO, the CTO, the CEO, the COO, and so on. Another influencing factor is the scale of recruitment, okay? So one or few positions, large scale hiring. So generally, external methods cater to more niche positions, more mass hiring also. So wherever there's a criticality which cannot be met by internal methods, then you have to resort to the external methods. It can also happen in the form of recurrence. So one-off or ongoing. So sometimes the positions, although may be one-off, but they may be so critical that they cannot be conducted by internal. At times it may also be ongoing, so that, you know, these many people are not available to be promoted. So external methods are preferred. Time available, so immediate or planned time can also be under the purview of external methods, as go the costs. So minimal or planned. So if the costs are minimal, maybe these, you know, might not be considered because there is a factor of the external agencies as well. But if it is planned, if there's a budget which has been set out, then this can be worked out. So these factors have to be considered from the concept or from the perspective of external methods. Now, through the help of this diagram, we are going to sort of, you know, understand or understand this again, the factors which are the differences between recruitment and selection. So we've already covered this in a very brief fashion. We will cover it again. So recruitment basically is a pool or searching where there is no elimination done. On the other hand, selection involves a series of steps where there are filters which are created. Now here we want to have as many people as possible with the prospect of positively recruiting them in the organization. Here this is considered as a filter process. So you are setting up funnels or filters. In recruitment, it's always envisioned, it's always perceived as a positive, as I mentioned, whereas selection is a negative or a critical process which involves removing people from the pool. Recruitment is considered with tapping of human resources. Selection is moving through interviewing and tests. And of course, there is no control of recruitment established in recruitment, but selection results in a contract of service between employer and selected employees. So whereas recruitment is broad-based, selection has a narrow focus. So this is a prime or a basic difference between the two. Okay, let's quickly look at the external versus internal factors. So there are certain factors which demand or influence the hiring process or the recruitment process. So there are two sets. One is an external factor which influences the hiring and the recruitment process, and the internal factors which again plays a major role. Now, what are certain factors which are external or not under the control of that organization? First being the supply and the demand. So as we can understand, if there is a shortage between the supply, or there's a gap between the supply and demand, then it becomes a challenge to recruit employees, correct? For example, let's say a reputed organization thinks of setting one of its plants in a rural or a remote area. Now, despite them relocating a lot of people, transferring a lot of people, still there is a demand. In this case, then it becomes difficult. Is there a labor market? So supporting this point or connected to this point is the factor whether there's a labor market or not. So if there is a labor market, then it becomes a simpler thing for the recruitment department. If there is no labor market, then they have to go through great lengths to create one. Another thing is the image or the goodwill. If the image is that of a responsible organization like, let's say, Tata's. So in India, if you notice, Tata Group has a very clean image. People will strive or they will take special efforts to get a job in Tata, correct? So if the image is tarnished, on the other hand, people will stay away. So if they are considering, five companies which they could join, a company with a clean image or a goodwill will probably be one of the first on their, preferences, with a tarnished organization being last on their preference list. Again, factors like political, social, legal, environment related factors also play a major role. So if there are some legalities involved, like if the organization is involved in certain things which the government disapproves or has put a stay on, then it becomes difficult for them to recruit people. Unemployment rate. So if there are a lot of people who are not employed and are not considered employable, then this may also have, a certain influence. Of course, competitors. So if there are five prominent organizations which are in need of people, then it becomes difficult to induct employees in your own organization. Along with these, there are internal factors. The first may be the recruitment policy. For example, many IT organizations over the years have always insisted that the cut level or the basic level is a graduate in computers. And many organizations refuse to budge from this basic eligibility, thus creating a difficulty for their own recruitment department. The next may be the policies, the SOPs, that's the standard operating procedures of the human resources, the amount of remuneration that they considered as fit for the incumbents or the candidates who join. It also may relate to the size of the firm. Is it a startup or a small sized firm, or is it a unicorn or a $1 billion firm, is also what needs to be understood. The cost of recruitment, of course, depending upon the experience, the niche technology that needs to be worked upon, the liaising with the clients, and of course the growth and the expansion factors. So all these form the internal factors. Of course, we have discussed these, so we will just enlist them. So these were certain aspects which we had discussed in detail in the previous slide, them being the supply and demand, the labor market, the image or the goodwill that the organization has, the political, the social, and the legal environment that they operate out of, the unemployment rate, the competitors. Now, in this, we can additionally cite certain states in India when we think of the Indian context as being pro organization, or they might be against corporate working. Like, there are certain states which have a communist outlook where there are frequent strikes, correct? There is a political upheaval as well. So in this case, it becomes difficult to retain employees and to recruit new employees. So this can be a very important external factor. We have also enlisted the internal factors, them being the organizational objectives, personal policies of the organization and its competitors, government. So these are some very important aspects which also should be considered. Yeah. So government policies on reservations. So government, how much of reservation does the government prefer? Preferred sources of recruitment. So a certain organization, because of its needs, prefers certain sources, the need of the organization, and the recruitment costs and the financial implications. So as already stated, we will just repeat some of the essential information related to the internal forces. This include the recruitment policy, which was mentioned and briefly discussed in the last slide. So the recruitment policy of an organization basically specifies the objectives of recruitment and provides a framework for the implementation of the recruitment program. So there are various policies that have been formulated so that there is no problem or no issue in the smooth conducting of the hiring process. So these policies are in place to safeguard the broad interests of the organization. These policies may also, they may include certain aspects like the payment that needs to go in the form of CTC, what kind of, overarching benefits would be given to the candidate, what is the limit for a certain position, what is the duration of time that a certain vacancy needs to be filled in, what are certain criterion that will, create a clear segregation between the internal filling and the external recruitment. So these are certain things that need to be considered as the internal factors or forces. One of the other important factors is the human resource planning. So effective human resource planning helps in determining the gaps present in the existing manpower of the organization. So many a times, if there is a need for filling up vacancies, so these needs are catered to in a systematic or a scientific fashion rather than an ad hoc manner. So if this is done properly, the organization gains in the long term, as discussed earlier. If this is done in an abrupt fashion, this is just done for the sake of fashion, then the organization would tend to suffer more in the long run or the long term. There would be a lot of attritions, there would be annual turnovers, and people would not be able to achieve the mission, the vision, and the values of the organization. So recruitment, therefore, is, as we have come to understand, the process of searching for prospective employees and stimulating them to apply for jobs. We've also looked at certain important internal and external sources, which we are citing over here again. So promotion can be one, department exam can be another one, transfer, internal advertisement, and employee recommendation. The external sources can be management consultants, employment agency, newspaper advertisements, internet advertisements, and walk-in interviews. So this is an overview. Now let's look at the advantages of the internal recruitment. So we've already cited some of the merits or the benefits. Now these are certain things which are also important for us to understand. One of the prime advantages is that it is time saving. So it is a less cumbersome process and can be quickly done with internal understanding. No separate induction program is required, of course. Once the organizational employees are already understanding the finance department, they have an understanding of the training endeavors, they know the human resource processes, they know about the transport and other facilities, so why would an induction program be required? Many a times, even if the employee is joining another location, similar practices or uniform practices tend to be there, so the induction program would be a bare minimal over there. Another advantage would be the method increases loyalty and reduces labor turnover. So if the employees cite continuous progression in the same organization, why would they take a risk of joining a different organization working in a different culture? The last is the method is less expensive. So there are no hefty fees or remuneration charges that need to be given to the headhunters, the recruitment agencies, the temping, or the staffing agencies, which are contracted from outside. Some of the disadvantages include there is no opportunity to get new talent. So any fresh perspective, any challenging perspective, any fresh blood is limited because of internal recruitment. For example, let's say there is a recruitment required in the supply chain management department of an MNC and only internal staff is consulted. And let's say there are a lot of new practices that are being developed on a global level, which people from the outside know about. So the organization may not get this insight because of internally recruiting. So this method involves selecting people from those available in the company, and there is a limited scope for selection. So since the pool is restricted, so selection will subsequently also be limited. And of course, there are chances of biased or biases and partiality. So what is a bias? So a bias is a preference in its simplest forms. So for example, if a person is pretty influential, has been in the system for long years, so there may be a bias towards promoting them or a specific segment of people. So this might result in a partiality. So if they are on very good terms with the human resources department or the recruitment department, they may gain undue advantage and may be promoted even at the cost of a long-term problem or a long-term lack of success. So these are some of the disadvantages. Now, as students of recruitment management, many of us would also be manning these departments and should have a complete and a broad-based understanding of both the advantages and the disadvantages of internal recruitment. Hence, it's being discussed over here. Now, in a detailed fashion, let's look at the external methods or sources of recruitment. Now, as we have seen, where the internal recruitment methods fail to suffice, we would also be looking at the external sources of recruitment. These include recruitment specialists. So these are those agencies that have specialists with them. They have professionals who tend to work only on the needs of the organization. So as a need originates, it is passed on to that staffing agency, to the manpower agency, and they are responsible, they are accountable to give that specific number to the organization, where the organization then creates a selection mechanism. There are also employment agencies. So these come under the employment government agencies as well as non-government agencies, where the company may publish their need, and thus from a database or files, they may get those required people. So people who have registered with such employment agencies might have a prospect of working with the organization where there is a supply that is generated. A few other forms of external recruitment include the campus, which is a highly popular form of recruitment. Now, we've seen campus recruitments happen from time to time. Companies which are in need, they require a certain headcount, a certain vacancies to be filled, a certain new process to be manned, they will also turn to fresh graduates, correct? So these will be, let's say, graduate engineer trainees for engineering firms. They may be management trainees for FMCGs or consulting organizations. They may be certain internet savvy people, or they may be some specialists who may be just out of college from completing the BCS degree, the MCS degree, these particular things. So the recruiters will go to the campus and will hire people from there. So these may be reputed or small-time campuses where people will get their graduates or undergraduates. The next is a conventional form, which is the newspaper advertisement. So this is one of the oldest and most popular methods still prevalent. So if you were to, just look at a specific section of the Times of India or the Indian Express or any local language newspapers, you will always find the section of classifieds where multiple organizations may cite their requirements. They may also explicitly mention the years of experience, the job profile, and several aspects in a small box. So advertisements for the job are given in leading newspapers, as I just mentioned, and the complete details and the salaries thereupon would also be mentioned. The next is, of course, going with the times. So for the last couple of decades, what has become popular is the internet as a form of advertisement. Of course, with the World Wide Web becoming prominent in these couple of decades, so has the social media recruiting. So all this is completed or done on the internet. Yeah. So the next one is a walk-in, which we had briefly discussed in that image, which we had completed in this chapter. So another method of recruitment which is gaining importance is the walk-in interview method. So an advertisement about the location and the time of the walk-in is given in the newspaper, and people are invited either to the office, either to a business consulting center which may be hired by the organization in a prominent location in a city, or they may be invited online if it entails a hybrid form using mechanisms like the Cisco WebEx system. It can include Microsoft Teams, Skype, Zoom, or any other form like a Google Meet. So these can also in today's post-pandemic times take prominence. So all this is basically covered in the walk-in type of interview. So now let's look at the advantages of external recruitment. So of course, fresh blood comes into the system. There is an influx of new talent. So they bring with them the best practices of the earlier organizations. So this is a critical advantage. This method also encourages more competition. So if there's only internal recruitment, there is a lack of competition. Once people realize that externally also there are people who are being recruited, then there is more competition. Then they start working in a competitive manner. There is lesser chance of partiality through this method. So this is more impartial. So the deserving candidate generally gets selected if there is external recruitment that is being done, because then it is out of the hands of the current management people. So any preference or any bias towards selection is reduced. If options like campus recruitment have been exercised, we get a chance to employ fresh graduates, thus increasing employment. So this is also something very important. So fresh graduates bring along with them enthusiasm, they bring along with them excitement, and this is also useful to the organization. Let's also consider in this slide the disadvantages of external recruitment. So this method is costly because it involves recruitment cost and training cost. Since a person is coming from outside, there is involvement of a recruitment agency which will charge a certain amount for every candidate. Also, once the candidate is recruited, he or she has to become familiar with the culture of the organization, that is through the induction. They also have to be trained on the infrastructure, that is the machines if it's a manufacturing, on the policies if it's an FMCG or a BFSI, on certain training courses if it's IT as well. The method reduces loyalty to the company. So if the person who is working for long years realizes that suddenly his boss is recruited from outside rather than him becoming a boss, it will reduce loyalty of such employees to the organization. Thank you.